Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
These broken wings
and learn to fly again.
Mate, let's 80s or 90s? 80s or 90s? Do you know who sang it?
No.
Is it take?
You know what? When you put me on the spotlight, like, I know shit.
I missed the 80s. It was that time period where the Cars did songs. You know, there was the Cars, ABC. The 80s were such a rich musical era. Everything's all electronic now, you know.
Meanwhile, I was back listening to 1927 during that time. But yeah.
1927 were a big deal
good.
Here.
But you know, they were. And I agree with you. There's something happens when I go back and I've just put on 80s music and I'm like, oh. I think it was because we were growing. I think it was the time, the age we were when we were growing up.
Everybody wants to rule the world. And if you listen to the lyrics of those songs, like Tears for Fears, so I was at a party the other day and it was all these blokes around, like fucking blokey blokes, and I just had a fucking barbie.
Yeah.
Drinking fucking emu.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the fucking emu is the big thing at the moment. I'm like, oh my God, it's like horrendous. And they're like, no, they've changed the fucking formula, mate. It's fucking lovely. So everybody was wearing
these
thongs.
Are your Darlington
they were
tree?
All with, No, mate. These were straight off a construction site.
Really?
They were wearing fucking thongs and fucking shorts.
You don't like thongs at all, do you?
I don't like thongs. And so they're like, everybody's playing different songs. And I love the 80s, right? Now, I'm not a fucking typical blokey bloke, mate.
No.
But I put on Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears, right? And next of all, somebody goes, is that fucking Tears for Fears? Who the fuck put on Tears for Fears? So I'm like, I put on Tears for Fears. And they're like, fuck, that's a fucking gay song. And I'm like, oh, all right, I'll change it then. So I got the phone and I went to... Just let me remember the song. Do you really want to hurt me? Just to wind them all up.
You but like winding people
I
up.
I know, but they didn't find it very funny. I thought it was funny.
No, you're not always that funny, you know.
There, I just see that movie with Adam Sandler, you know, where your man is like, do you really want to hurt me? And everybody's going, oh, wow. And then he goes and... He gets the audience and he finishes the song. So what does he do? He plays it again. And then all you hear is, you suck! From the audience.
You're insane. You like winding people up. It's one of your things. You do it on Facebook a lot.
I know. I put out these posts and fuckers.
And then
jump
people
on.
Just like bite my, and you're just like.
My brother-in-law just gets on. He's like, you know. And but I just do it just to put him on to watch people. I know. I
That's
mean,
funny.
I mean. And I know they want me to engage in the argument, and you know, but don't you think that da da da, and shouldn't you da 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 da? And I'm like, oh, no,
I'm
it's
just
not
here
the point
observing.
Of anything I've ever told any of you fuckers. You were all sleeping, you know. Even the staff are like, oh my God, Mitch thinks that you know Hillary Clinton's a lizard, and he's pro Trump. And I'm like, have you not seen the message? I'm pro choice, freedom of speech. Anyway.
Anywho,
so yeah, speaking of it,
of nothing. That no, is there
of
any
speaking
link
of the
to
internet,
what we're
speaking of the internet or internet or YouTube? I was, you know, I'm a bit of a Dan Pena fan, you know,
Dan Pena,
and lots of people won't know who Dan Pena is, but he's really come to the forefront in the past 2.5 years, and he's a high performance coach.
He says he's come to the forefront because you have. He's come to the forefront for you.
No. Lots of people. No. You'll
who,
see
the people that you referred him to.
No. On YouTube, if you check out, it's only in really the past 36 months.
I can wind people up too.
Fuck you. It's only in the past 36 months that Dan Pena has really on YouTube has overtaken a fucking. I'll move the mic the way I want. Will you just get away?
They're trying to
get
make,
away.
You
stop
need
it.
To bring it closer so that people can actually hear
oh
you. This
God,
is the
I will take this mic
podcast.
Up and I will fucking beat you to death with it.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to.
No, you'd probably beat me up. Anyway, yeah. So I'm listening to Dan Pena and like he's so. He's a high performance coach. He's called the $1 trillion man. He's been coaching for probably 30 years. And he runs this this seminar in London, in England, sorry, actually in Scotland. And it's at his castle that he owns. So you come to QLA, which and you have the QLA experience in the castle. And he, you know, a lot of his teachings are based on Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill. Mm-hmm. And if you ever haven't listened to Think and Grow Rich, Think and Grow Rich is a great book. And, you know, and Dan, when you first listen, when I first listened to the guy, I couldn't listen to him. I was like, this guy is so ruthless. Like, he is absolutely ruthless. But as I listened to him, and the more I listened to him, because you get kind of sucked in. Like, what if I don't normally say this word, but I'm going to say it here just so people can get an understand. You know, he'll come on, and as his video comes on, once his video finishes, at the end of the video, he says, you know, he screams into the microphone, "Like and subscribe, cunts!" Like, I'm like, does YouTube allow him to do that? Like, is he allowed to do that? But, you know, that's how he handles it.
Well, you like people that are quiet. You like seeing people that are super authentic and don't give a fuck.
He just you like so much money that he just doesn't. Now, hold on, but hold on. That he doesn't give a fuck, right?
But do you think it's because he's got the money that he doesn't give a fuck?
No, I think it's because he has produced some of the wealthiest people on the planet.
Right.
Like, he has literally produced some of the wealthiest people in Western society.
Well, Brian Rose, who's the founder of London Real, is one of his students.
Well, you can follow Brian Rose's journey to meeting Dan Penna and how it all came about. Penna. And I call him Penna. And so you can meet and watch the whole journey. And it's really interesting because Penna and his wife took, he wanted to get on his podcast. He wanted to get into the London Real podcast. This is when Brian was really just, you know, starting to get some traction. And he took Brian out to dinner. Dan and his wife took Brian out to dinner. And when he got to dinner, at the end of the dinner, he said to him, "I'm gonna make you," and you know, Brian was like, "I just didn't like this person. He was just, I didn't like, you know, I was totally against the desire for money. I was totally, you know, I was very anti-establishment, da 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 da." But he said, "I just didn't like this man. He was just everything that I hated about capitalism, and he was just a fucking awful human." But then there was another part of me that just, I just loved him. Like, he was the father, and Penna says this all the time, "I'm the father you never wanted to fucking have. I'm the father you hated."
He swears. Yeah, I have some of them.
Mate, relentlessly. So what? Hold on, I'm getting to a point.
Okay,
so
yeah, I know, I was going
to
say.
He says to me, he says then at one point, I'm emulating him now, he says at one point, "I don't think you meant to have your chin on the mic, mate."
I was moving it out of the way.
Try to use your hand. Be a professional. Anyway, he says at one point, when he walks into an audience, "If I get out of this audience and you like me, I failed." Right? He's just brilliant. So when I was listening to this stuff, it was like everything he is saying is everything why he shouldn't be so successful at what he does. Everything this guy is saying should be all the things you should never do with your audience is everything. Everything he's doing with your audience. And then I started to research some of the people that have succeeded, because
I'm making his guidance. Yeah.
So he was the $1 billion man. Then he was the $50 billion man. Then the $500 billion man. Now he's the $1 trillion man because he's created $1 trillion worth of revenue within his students over the 30 years that he's been, and he comes from California, Mexican, like ruthless, you know, tried to kill a school teacher when he was like 8 years old and da 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 da. And QLA has been around for a very long time. The QLA seminar at the castle has been around for a very long time, but it's becoming very public now. And he only takes about 22 people into the seminar each quarter, I think he does it. And he has this wall of fame and this, you know, this wall of shame of people who have made it and people who have shamed and not followed and done the right thing. But over time, what happened was I started to really get that he just believes in people more than they believe in people. And there's a point when you get it that he stops disrespecting. Do you know what I mean? And you really, over time, once you start to see what he's doing, you can only but respect him. He's very challenging to listen to. I've had to stop listening to him because he's so challenging. He's basically saying, you are here to do bigger things and you're a motherfucking phony if you're not doing them.
Mm.
And you're here to take advantage of this situation and make this place a greater place and leave this place a better world and create generational wealth. Like, you're here to fucking create generational wealth. And I was like, and he's like, because if you don't do that for your generation, they're going to starve. So therefore, you're not creating generational wealth and the people who come after you are going to starve and you don't take yourself seriously. And he talks like he's just brilliant, like brilliant. And I know that some people are going to get off this and start to Google this guy and check him out. Like, he's nearly 76 years old. And you can watch some of his seminars from the, you know, from 30 years ago,
yeah.
You know, but his story is really interesting. But I think the point I wanted to bring that up, I wanted to bring up there, and the reason I wanted to start talking about this was because there's a lot of information out there and misinformation out there. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of people who claim to be coaches but have no longevity. And
well, it's also when I think people need to understand what they need to look for when they're looking for some help with anything.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that Dan does is he doesn't like, I know that you respect people who are as authentic as possible and who don't care.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they don't care. It means that they care more for themselves and how they are inside of themselves and they care about other people's opinions. So they still have care, but it's not about what other people say about them is not as valuable to them as what they say about themselves.
Yeah.
And so one of the things he does is he's quite authentic and he will call it as it is.
Yeah.
And so if you go to someone for help and you need that help, you cannot have someone. It's so important that we're challenged in with the help that we get, because if we're supported, we're only going to get more of the same. We're not ever going to get anything different, right? Yeah. If I come to you for help and you go, "Oh no, you're on the right track, Mills," it doesn't help me.
Yeah,
that doesn't help. That's fine. I need that in my life.
So first off, you need someone that if they're not challenging you, if you're not wanting to switch them off.
Yes.
If they're not saying shit that you don't want to own.
Yes.
You know, you're not in front of the right teacher.
Not yet.
You know, the amount of times I see it all the time. You see it as well. What happens? You know, that people would say, you know, when I first met you, I really didn't like you.
Mm.
I thought you were this and that and this and that. And so, and for me personally, when that first started to happen, I found it very difficult to deal with. I was like, fuck, because I want people to like me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
I want me, but there's a part of us wants people to like us for our like parts and dislike us for our dislike parts. But the hardest thing I've had to handle is people saying, "Thank you, I love you."
Yeah, and loving you for all of that.
For all of that. Yeah. You know, thank you for telling me I'm a fucking asshole. Yeah. Thank you for slapping me around the head when I needed a slap around the head.
Yeah.
Thank you for telling your story and not being afraid to tell your story. Yeah. But that takes time.
Yeah.
And I think that takes experience. You know, and so when you're looking for someone, you need to know that there's time invested.
Yes.
You need to know that there's experience. They need to share their story. It's got to be authentic, you know. And whatever they're talking about, because, you know, you have to be able to rely on it. Do you know what I mean? You have to be able to rely that this person knows what they're talking about. They've done their time.
Yeah, but then also, if they're just spouting what you already know, they're probably not the teacher for you. They're probably not going to be the one that's going to be able to help you to get to that next place because one of the things that's really, really important in a coach and someone that helps you is that they have to be able to challenge you. Everyone needs support and challenge in our lives. We all need that.
Yeah.
But in order to move, we need to be challenged, because if we're not being challenged, we're not growing, we're not evolving.
Yeah.
And so Dan Pena kind of goes extreme on that. Like, he really goes extreme and just is like, because he obviously just wants to deal with the people who are serious that are like, I can like – you guys, if you can take this, then you're going to be able to what it takes to get to that next level.
And I mean, but he's building their self-worth.
Yes.
That's his key thing.
Because
high-performance coaches, he says, my objective is to build their self-worth.
Because there comes a point, right, when you get it, like you just said, that there would be coming a point where you get it, where that praise and that reprimand doesn't have that same impact, because they get – they're able to get to that level.
It doesn't matter
what you think of me.
It matters what I think of
me. What I think of me.
And all he's done is help them to realize what they think
exactly.
of themselves. And to get that click.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's not something that that's not something that happens in your head. That's something that occurs in your heart and in your body.
Yeah.
And it's like it's an evolution of your spirit into a state of non-attachment because you're so just attached to, you know, the nature of your vision, which is something you want to get to the end of your day and know that you die and it doesn't end, so it becomes immortal. And so so you watch him pushing people to, you know, to let, you know, to let go of this identity, because their identity is not their identity, you know. Like at one point he says, I've said this myself for years, you know, your parents fucked it up. You know,
well, we have arguments about this.
Yeah, so. We do. But he and we do. And but he said, your parents fucked it up. You know, you would never want to come back here and be like your parents. You don't want your children to be like you, because you part of you didn't get it right. And now I know that what he's saying is he's getting them to the same point that we get people, which is to get them to see that in them fucking it up, they actually got it right.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? They actually got it right, because in them being that way, you actually became the person that you are.
Mm.
But you can only see that when you actually become the person that you are.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
And then, and we use all of these excuses in the way to get in the way of that, right? Mm. We all use every reason, every excuse to get in the way of that. And this is why someone who's going to hold your hand and keep you accountable is going to keep you accountable to that. So that's another thing I think is important when you're looking to get help from someone, is that you need to have someone that's prepared to keep you accountable, that you that can hold your hand but not do it for you. I saw a great post the other day from one of our guys who was talking about the difference between, you know, being a coach and, you know, I can help you and I can do this and I can keep you accountable, but at the end of the day, you've got to do it for yourself.
Yeah.
And keeping you accountable to that, that's really important in a coach. And, you know, we've done a lot of work. We spend a lot of money in the business just on development, on our own development for different people at different times throughout the business, right? And we'll do that. And one of the times we called a coach and we were scouting out this particular coach to see how they would be. Mm. And you were giving them a reason, just saying, look, I've done this before, but, you know, it didn't really work for me and whatever. Mm. And this coach just ripped into you, didn't he? He just
He didn't. What he said was, I said to him, you know, I've done some work before and coaches have promised and, you know, they
didn't deliver. That's right. They didn't
deliver and, you know, they're all. And he said, no, you didn't deliver.
Yeah.
You didn't show up, you know.
Yeah, so you ripped into you. He ripped into your story about the fact that it was the coach that was supposed to do it for you and not you.
Yeah.
And that was one of the best things he said, because it was like, oh, hang on a second. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't take that coach.
Mm.
We didn't use him because I just still didn't feel it. What he was saying was correct, but they were just words. Mm. Does that make sense? Yeah. I still didn't feel outside of that he was going to be authentically what we actually fucking required.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And we ultimately did get what we required.
Yeah.
But you've got to be able to feel that out. Do you know what I mean? You've got to be able to know that when you're getting a coach. The coach's job is to keep you accountable, but not to hold your hand.
Yes.
Not the fucking.
Well, hold your hand, but holding your hand doesn't mean you're right.
Where are you today?
They're not with you.
Yeah.
They're not dragging you.
Yeah.
They're beside you.
Yeah. Yeah. So we say this all the time. I'm not going to fucking push you up a river. I'm not going to drag you.
Because I don't want my energy being spent on doing that.
I'm respectful of the team. We're going to walk with you. If you don't want to walk with us, it's fine, but we know where the fuck we're going. And we want to give you the skills, tips, and abilities to be able to fucking do that and to be able to get to where you want to go to. But I'm not going to run around after you and lose my energy doing that.
Mm. I think I'm going to mention Brené Brown again, because I know you love me talking about Brené Brown. No, so one of the things that she talks a little bit about, because we've covered a couple of things that is important and essential in a coach. Firstly, they hold you accountable, and secondly, that they challenge you, because otherwise it's not, you know, worth it. But the thing is key, I think, is one of the things that Brené says is that she talks about us being able to help other people, right? And in us being able to help other people, that's all well and good. But unless you're willing to ask for help in the first place, then you're basically condemning the people that you help.
Because, Say that again.
Yeah. So imagine I come to you and I say, hey, Mitch, I can help you. If you need help, I'm here.
Yeah.
Right? And I do that for you, but I can't say to you that I need help.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then what I'm basically saying in you needing my help, right, yeah, is that you're less than me somehow because yeah, you need help but I don't. I've got it sorted out.
Yeah.
And I'm not prepared to ask for help.
Yeah.
So I think we probably – this is probably the first step before the other two anyway, is to understand that it's okay to ask for the help.
Mm.
In asking for the help, it doesn't mean that you are not able to provide the help and the assistance that you – like us, we provide so much help and assistance to the people like in our tribe, right? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean we don't need help at times. And mm-hmm, if I was to give help to others and not acknowledge that I also need help, then I might as well be judging the people we're working with mm-hmm for needing help in the first place. I'm basically saying that I'm better than you or, you know, I see you as less than because you need help. But so, I also need help. So my point here is mm-hmm that in the first step before even choosing someone that's going to challenge you and choosing someone that's going to keep you accountable is understanding and recognizing the part of you that actually gets that in the current way of thinking that you can't do it on your own.
So but there's a fundamental difference there, right? So for me, I'm not interested in helping people.
Oh, you understand what I mean.
I think people need to understand. Yeah, cool. In fact, I don't want to help people. Do you know what I mean? I don't. If you want fucking help, go somewhere else because that's a trap. It's a motherfucking trap. And that's somebody walking in, oh, I need fucking help. No. The first thing you have to get is you don't need any fucking help. You don't need help. What you have everything that you need.
But sometimes people don't have that as they're walking in and asking for help. In that moment when you need help.
When you're helping people, you attract a lot of help.
Oh, hang on one second. So when we're helping people, as the person that is doing the helping, right, and I'm putting helping in quotation marks, right, we understand that we don't do anything. It is not us bestowing our help onto them.
Yeah.
It's basically saying we have something or a way of being and a way of seeing things that can be of assistance to you and we're prepared to assist you if you're prepared to do that work for yourself, right? That's what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
And when we're asking for help, when I'm not saying, oh, my God, you've got all the answers, you've got to give them to me. We're saying I know what I know but there's stuff I don't know that I don't know and I need somebody to help guide me to see it. I'm not expecting you to do it for me, but I need some guidance in to be able to see that for myself.
Yeah.
That's what I mean with helping. Yeah. I'm not – I know this, but to clarify, we're not doing it in the purpose of, oh, I'm helpless. I need somebody.
Because it's a predator-prey because
that
situation,
is a very – yes, it's a very fine line,
you
right?
You fucking never want to be
because
in that
then
position.
you're in the position where you're really low and you're looking for someone up here to help you and be your savior and that's
someone
that's
comes
fucked.
And does that to you.
Yes.
They're putting they you make up you on a pedestal, right?
Yeah.
Eventually they're going to fucking slam you into a
100%.
Pit. 100%. So you have to be able to go you're speaking to the wrong human.
Yes.
You're in front of the right person asking the wrong question.
So it's not about the helpless because if you're doing that, you're making yourself helpless. So that's not the perspective we're coming from when we're talking about help. You're right, that's important to clarify. What I'm talking about is understanding that in your current way of being, there is a way of thinking or a way of being that you are not familiar with in your current loop to be able to deal with and you're asking for some assistance. And that ability to ask for assistance and asking for help, when I'm saying the help, I'm not saying I'm begging and asking like a helpless person. I'm saying as understanding that I know what I know but I don't know what I don't know, I'm asking. So I think there's an important point that we have to understand that we have to be okay to ask for that.
Yeah.
We have to be wise enough to say,
I don't get stuff.
Like I know what I know, but there's things I don't know. And, you know, I can
But can I say something else? But this gets down to fucking having a team around you, right?
Yes.
I'm a good delegator. I know how to delegate you.
Yeah.
I don't need to know how to handle the cloud. Do you know what I mean? Like I don't... I just
can't even talk about it and know what it is.
And it's like the girls are, we're going to put that up in the cloud, Mitch, or, you know, and I'm like, fine. I don't know what that is, and I don't need to know what that is, but I, you know, I delegate that stuff to the people that do. But you've got to understand, you will always have to surround yourself with team members, including someone that is better in the field of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can get better in the field of what you do.
That's why you brought me on board.
But you don't pedestalize that person, you know. And if you find yourself pedestalizing that person, I remember the first time, you know, I spoke to Dee Martini. I was like this little boy, this giddy little boy, and you know, I was like, and afterwards, I'm like, why the fuck did I do that? You know, why the fuck? You know better. For fuck's sake, you know better. Do you know what I mean? And so over time, you know. You don't pedestalize them. You meet them at the same level.
Yes, 100%.
That's what you're looking for when you're bringing somebody in. You know, bringing somebody in that hasn't positioned themselves in that way. I'm going to give you something that you don't fucking know, and I have it, and that. You bring someone in that you feel you can work with. So, like, in terms of the business people that we work with in Evolve, you know, we handpick those guys. We fucking handpick them. We want their success as much as they want their success. We don't go, you know, we're interviewing them to see, are they teachable? Are they going to be able to do what we're telling them to do to get to where they want to get to? We also know when there's a time we will release you and you'll be able to go and do other things. And there's going to be times when you will want to let go of us and move off into another direction that's going to get you even further than the place we're able to get you. So we're able to, you know, a good coach is able to acknowledge that they can only get you so far. You know, you see this in the boxing ranks and da-da-da-da-da. A good coach knows that they can't provide everything. A good coach also sees their own gaps and provides and fills their gaps, and that's where they look to educate themselves. Where's my gaps? How do I educate myself in those gaps so I can deliver better content and better systems that are going to get the person to where they need to get to? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So getting back to the guy, the reason I didn't hire that was because there was a bit of that going on. That, like, I'm going to do something that you don't have. Do you know what I mean?
I get that. 100%. So then the next thing I was going to say was that it's also important then that we choose people. And because I think some people kind of get in and do things without understanding that they actually have to do stuff, that they've got to actually take action. Do you know what I mean? And they think that something's just going to fall out of the sky and someone else is going to coach them, it's going to be fine. But as a result of that, you actually need to choose somebody and you need to know who to pick and you need to know who's the right person. And the way that you know that is people who are living their values, because at the end of the day, you want to be living your values. That's the whole purpose, right? Yeah. You want to be on purpose, and you want to be living your values. And you're not going to be able to do that unless you're surrounding yourself by people who are doing the same thing, whether they're helping you and holding your hand and keeping you accountable as a coach, or whether they're a part of the team that you're delegating to. Mm-hmm. Because the team that you're delegating to, it doesn't mean that they're doing a lesser job than you. They're doing a job that is high in value to them. And it, like, for example, I delegate all of the property subdivision stuff to Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that, and I have had opportunities over the years to do it with many people, but Matt resonated with me. And the reason he resonated with me is because he is so inspired and he's so authentic when it comes to that.
Yeah.
And when it comes to that, I feel like he will tell me if it's good or if it's not good.
Well, he has what's called ramification thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
He understands the ramifications of saying the wrong thing or getting it wrong because people are investing a lot of money in their future.
But then not just that, you can see that he loves it. You can see that when he talks about it, it inspires him. And for me, I want to make money from that, but it really doesn't inspire me to go and figure out codes and how this talk to Watercorp and doing all the things that he has to do. And I'm like, I'd rather be just writing out the checks and signing the things you need me to sign and you go and do. And I'm delegating that to him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not me giving it down to him. It's him having – that's his highest priority. So I'm best off, like, giving that to someone who has the highest priority. So – you've got to find, when you're looking for assistance in that respect, you've got to find people that are doing what they love mm-hmm. as well, because when they're doing what they love, they're going to be inspired to do that with you and yeah. alongside you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think one of the most difficult things sometimes is for us to take action in a new way than we're used to.
Yeah.
Like something like, you know, the state of the events of the world at the moment with the whole COVID situation and everything that happened with that, it really forced people to take a new turn, to shift and to look at things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can ask yourself, if that hadn't have happened, would anyone have shifted? Like, we created new things mm-hmm. as a result of this situation because we yep. weren't doing seminars.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, I think we can be quite honest with ourselves that this year that wouldn't have happened if we weren't forced to do that, right? Because we needed external circumstances to bring that in, to give us the time right, that we right, needed to right. be able to go and yeah. do that, right? So that's all well and good, but if you want to be, you've got to be able to do that. And, I mean, we've been able to evolve over the years for different reasons and for different things, but in terms of this particular moment, we wouldn't have been able to do that in the situation. We needed those external circumstances. So it takes a lot to be able to go, right, we're going to stop. We're going to actually take some action. We're going to look at things differently. We're going to make a choice. And remember, you and I sat down at the beginning of this year,
yeah.
or was it the end of last year, and I said to you, this year is going to be different to every other year. Because we're going to do this, 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 and this. Remember?
Yeah.
And the reason we said that was because we realized that we had to be in charge of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way that it happened
yeah.
was different to how we expected it to happen.
Yeah.
But we were aware that it was time
but
for
do
it
you,
to happen.
I think it's important to say there that the way in which everything has happened is absolutely perfect.
Oh, 100%.
And you will the perfection is in the perception of imperfection.
Yeah.
That if you didn't see things as imperfect, you wouldn't stand up and, you know, people are standing up and fighting and then realizing, fucking, what am I fighting against? The only thing I can do is actually do what I love. And
yeah.
and they're sent home to do what they love and to connect with their families and, you know, think about the future. And
mm-hmm.
But everybody was asking for this transformation anyway. And so it's yeah, I agree. It's like you have to fall in love with the things that you want to do
yeah.
and life sets you up that way, and everything that's happening in the world at the moment is absolutely spot on.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's summarise, right?
Yeah.
So for people looking for help, and when we talk about help, we're talking about assistance and talking about yeah. being able to do stuff that they don't feel comfortable and they're not feeling skilled enough to be able to do and they need a little bit of assistance with that, they're not at a point of being helpless. First, you've got to understand that you do need that you don't know everything, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You've got to find someone that challenges you, because if you don't find someone that challenges you,
correct.
Screwed. You've got to find someone that you've got to live in your own values. I don't know if we covered that, but it's really important that we're living in our own values, because when we're living in our own values, we get to delegate the things that are less important. We did cover it, sorry.
Yeah.
Then we also have to find someone that loves what they do and that is inspiring and that can assist you by lighting the way kind of thing, and not because they feel like they feel like they have to. And before we finish up, I just want to say something. When you were coaching, when you were doing one-on-ones years and years ago, which is how we met, like at the beginning, you were very, very good at all of that.
Yeah.
Because I know, as much as you look up to someone like the Penyas of the world and other people like that, that was how you were for me.
Right.
Because, because I was so stuck in my story that when I came to see you, you didn't spend very much time with me. I felt like in some ways you didn't care, right? But it wasn't that you didn't care. It was that I feel like looking back on it, you weren't attached.
Yeah.
You cared enough to say what you needed to say, but it was up to me whether I did it or not.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, so you weren't attached to it. And for me, that was everything I needed.
Yeah.
So because I needed the challenge, I needed to be able to look at things differently, and I needed someone not to let me wallow in it and just to be able to be straight down the line with it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just thought that it was important to say that, because I think that perhaps sometimes you think that other people do that, and maybe he does do it on a large scale, but you did it on a scale that was important to me. And I know the people that we worked with when we were back in those days, it was many, many years ago.
Like many years ago.
17, 18 years ago now that was happening. But yeah.
Thank you for that. It was a lovely thing to say.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.